Well, today, if you haven't guessed by the color of the program cover that may have blinded you, or the stoles that Dan and I are wearing, we are part of a feast day, the Feast of St. Matthews, our patron saint, who wrote the most detailed gospel of all four. And so today we have this wonderful chance to celebrate and think about his life, and specifically this gospel story and what it has to say to each of us today. The faith forum today was so powerful. We had a really wonderful period of dwelling in this gospel passage, and I love to hear what people thought and what they wondered about. Someone wondered, who are the modern day Pharisees? Someone raised the question, are sinners, why is sickness a sin? Or to kind of explore the relationship between sin and sickness. Lots of good questions about what's going on here and what might God be doing in this encounter between Jesus and Matthew. And Matthew here is sitting in his tax booth. He's a tax collector working for the Roman government. And as a tax collector, he was one of the most despised and hated people in his community because the tax collectors added extra money onto the taxes that Romans charged. And then that was their salary. So they were widely seen as extortionists. I wondered, did Matthew like his daily work? As a tax collector for the Roman government, as I mentioned a moment ago, he was most likely despised and isolated. Did he work hard as a way to avoid the pain of his loneliness? Wednesday, at our noon Eucharist, someone wondered if Matthew, most likely a detail person from his gospel and as a tax collector, wondered if Matthew was bothered when Jesus interrupted him. Detail people like to stay focused. I wonder if Matthew's encounter with Jesus changed his views on money and giving, perhaps moving him from a scarcity paradigm to an abundance paradigm, maybe to being a more generous person, as he understood that what he had was given to him by God. Over the course of his life, how did the Holy Spirit and Jesus work in the life of young Levi on our left? I don't know if that's his tax booth or not, maybe. And what happened over the course of his lifetime so that that young man became the wizened St. Matthew, whose face is glowing, by the way, on the right. Therese Lewis and I attended a conference maybe 4 or 5 months ago focusing on something called whole life discipleship, referring to people's daily work situations. The speaker said or asserted that he thought most people don't want to be where they are. They feel like they're in exile with the wrong people, in the wrong place, at the wrong time. In the Episcopal Church, there's a trend that I've seen over and over, and I think it's true across the mainline, and that is that when people's faith in God or desire to have a deeper relationship with God starts to take place, they automatically think that they are called to be ordained. Because if you're serious about your spiritual life, you get ordained, right? And that is why right now in the diocese, we are often ordaining everybody and their cat, because which is a great sign, because everybody's serious about their spiritual life. But that must mean you're called to be ordained. Well, I hate to burst your bubble if you think that's true, but recent research shows that people's prayer lives and their engagement with spiritual practices actually goes down when they're ordained, and they really feel shameful about that, but it's true. They get busy and at times overwhelmed by administrative matters, meetings, crumbling buildings, sermon deadlines, and pastoral care emergencies. Well, I have some great news for all of us here today. The Enlightenment was not so enlightened. There is no sacred secular divide. All of life is holy and important to God, including our everyday lives. And if we experience a spiritual deepening, a desire to know God more deeply, that is exciting. And that is because God continues to be involved in our lives and world and has planted that hunger and that thirst in us. God is in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in the places where you volunteer, your schools, your universities, the hospital, the nursing home, these places where you might now be visiting your spouse or your parent. God is in each of those places and is up to something in each of them. And we are called to be Jesus' ambassadors in those places, vessels, channels for God's love, grace, kindness, honesty, for truth-telling, for listening. God has put you where you are for specific purposes, to be witnesses, conduits of the new life, the new creation that God is always bringing forth. We're here today as a faith community to pray for the world that God so loves and to help apprentice one another into Jesus' way, so that God can shape and encourage each of us to serve as God's follower every day, whatever we face, all those challenges, all those opportunities. Through one another's stories, experiences, and insights, we are able to learn more about what God is up to in the cities, in every neighborhood, and in this global congregation, which I love so much, we can learn more about what God is up to around the world from one another. I love today's scripture passages, and it's kind of nice on this hot day that they're wonderful and short too. But they all talk about the riches of living as Jesus' follower over the course of a lifetime, living as Jesus' ambassador every day, every week, every minute, of having a growing relationship with God every day of our lives. St. Matthew's focus this fall is to help every person here find at least one spiritual practice that they can take home and into the workplace and the places where you volunteer and where you live, so that you can listen more deeply to the people around you and let God work through you and thus move into a deeper, more loving relationship with God and with your neighbors. I'd like you to think about something that our conference speaker called the four tables of our lives: the work table, the coffee table, the dining table, and the Lord's table. And I just spoke at a conference in Cleveland yesterday, and people were curious, what's the difference between the work table and the coffee table, or the coffee table and the dining table? But I understand the coffee table as neighbors, as people we are getting to know, sitting down to chat with. And the dining table often is more with intimates, although thankfully Jesus is always pushing us to move out from that, to invite new people to our dining table, to be present to and learn from them. What pressures, challenges, and opportunities are you facing right now? And what are they doing to you? How can all of us here today, the gathered church, help you live as Jesus' follower, Jesus' apprentice, every day, everywhere? I'm going to post this question on the city. I wish we had time for conversation, but I think you'll kill me if this service goes over. But I'm going to post this question on the city, and I hope you might respond, because that's a way we can engage in conversation together during the week. So we live in so many places around the cities. This morning, I'd like you to take out your worship bulletin if it's not already open. And you'll see right under the sermon, there's a spiritual practice, and I'd love to introduce it this morning. Maybe some of you already engage in it. It was introduced to me by one of my spiritual mentors, Don Samuels, and he learned it from Richard Rohr. And what we'll do is we will say this prayer together, and you notice that you keep dropping off a word or a couple words every time, and then we're just going to move into a period of silence and just have the opportunity to be still and know that God is God, and to rest in God's presence, free from distraction. Imagine that. And then I want to ask you if every day, in a perfect world, maybe before you leave your home, and then whenever you arrive at the place you volunteer, or your workplace, or the store, whatever you're engaged in that day, you pray this prayer and observe a period of silence after it. And if it's helpful for you, maybe mealtimes would be a good reminder. I have the best of intentions, but unless there's some kind of trigger, maybe you could set an alarm on your phone or something if you're like me and just have a lot going on and might forget. But we'll have a chance next Sunday at the Faith Forum to come back in a shame-free zone and talk about our engagement with this practice, and what was it like? Did anything happen? Was it hard? If it was hard, what did we learn from that? If we totally forgot, what did we learn from that? Do we not have any bandwidth in our life? So anyway, I ask you to try this practice out every day, if possible, a couple of times each day, and then again to come back to the Faith Forum next week or on the city and just share what happened. Let us pray together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still.